baby, you my everything. You all I ever want. Let's do this. John Michaels is on the line. You be up on everything. The whole thing never on it. We're going to talk some Hurricanes with him. You can hear every Miami Hurricanes game on our sister station, 560 The Joe, if you're listening to us on 790 right now. If you're listening on 560 The Joe, then it's not our sister station. It's on this station. Hard to navigate a simulcast sometimes. Yeah. Hurricanes football on The Joe is sponsored by Kendall Toyota and West Kendall Toyota and Lexus of Kendall and Lexus of West Kendall and by Anajar and Levine Accident Attorneys. Call 1-800-747-FREE.
I have to tell you about the new beer at Funky Buddha, man. They have a low-calorie IPA. Guys, I know how it is. I love the beer, but you know, you're going to drink 6, 10, 12, whatever you're drinking.
I was just doing
dudes.
A natural pause before I got to John Michaels. I would have gotten you into the Funky Buddha commercial a little bit better.
Sitting there staring at your damn computer.
I honestly was doing like a dramatic pause to bring on John Michaels.
But I had to do it
I wouldn't have left you flopping around like that, like a fish.
It's okay. The Chant IPA, only 99 calories. IPA still has the hoppy. It's still delicious. We were drinking it out at the Panthers watch party the other day.
We're going to be at the BB&T Center Tuesday doing our show, and we're going to be at Funky Buddha Tap Room right at 6:01.
Ryan, Casey, please make sure some Chant IPA is downstairs at the Funky Buddha Tap Room. I will enjoy it, but it is delicious, and a 99-calorie IPA, I've never heard of it, but a lot of things you never hear of come from Funky Buddha.
They end up being great.
I'm telling you
and
something,
And if you
else.
Go to the tap room and get those Yuka Tots. Trust me.
Oh, my goodness.
Trust me. All right, John Michaels.
New gloves
is there.
Off.
I was
gloves
doing
off.
2.0.
Oh, yeah, it's delicious.
John Michaels, which I was giving you a dramatic pause, is a radio host heard nationally on SB Nation Radio. And you can hear him in Atlanta on 680 The Fan. And he's a contributor to State of the U. And you can follow him on Twitter at John Michaels U. And he is here right now. Hello, John.
I love the fact that, you know, guys that have worked in radio for a long time, we know sometimes you got to do a dramatic pause and then you get to the guest. Those football guys are so eager just to jump in. But I'm proud of you, Channing. You get the read in. You got the sponsor in. Everybody's happy. We know about your Funky Buddha.
I kind of want to flag him, though, for offsides. I feel like he jumped the snap.
No, hell no. Chant IPA, you hit it, John. I got to get it off.
I think he jumped the snap on that one, John.
Yeah, you know, it'd be better than his Gators last week who didn't cover anybody. I mean, there's still LSU receivers running wide open. You think I wasn't going to take a chance to go after the Gators after I heard all this smack talk from all their fans?
Bring it.
Oh, it was nice to see
Bring
them go
it, John.
Down. My wife grew up in Louisiana, so I told her, I said, tonight you can cheer for LSU. You get it for one night, then get back to your orange and green like you belong with. But it was nice to see. Florida couldn't cover anybody. I thought they were DBU.
I thought
because
so, too.
Because they don't look like DBU to me.
That damn Joe Burrow special, though, man.
Is that not the most amazing turnaround you've seen in college football? Think about going into last year's opener against Miami. We all thought, and I fell victim to it, oh, he's a game manager. He can't throw. Boy, LSU and Ed Orgeron decided, look, we're going to open up the offense and make it 2019 all over. And this kid's a Heisman. He might be the front runner for the Heisman Trophy right now.
Yeah, I wonder when the conversation starts happening, you know, about the number one overall pick and quarterbacks and Heismans. Joe Burrow, has he put up a stinker yet this season?
No.
I don't think he's
all.
Put up and a single stinker.
He's the offense, like yeah. John's saying. Yeah. He was just handing the ball off last year. He is the offense this year.
He went 21 of 24. Florida does have a good defense. I'll give him credit where it's due. Every time they needed a play, he made a play, and he was putting the ball literally – it was like he was handing it off, but 20 yards down the field the way he was throwing the rock on Saturday night.
All right. Well, John Michaels, again, you can hear him in Atlanta, 680 The Fan. You can hear him nationally, SB Nation Radio. We've had you on after a couple of Hurricanes losses or maybe like a poor performance after Central Michigan. But I want to make sure we had you on this week after what I consider to be a really good Canes win. What's your take on Friday night's victory over number 20 UVA?
It felt like they turned the corner, and maybe it's me being a homer, maybe it's me reading into it with as much positivity as I can, but I watched Miami's defense for the first time all year. That looked like the Canes' defense. Yeah, they bent. Yeah, Virginia moved the ball, but when it got down crunch time and you needed a stop, guys made stops. I also watched an offense not self-implode. Nkosi Perry did a great job navigating pressure. They only got sacked three times, which is terrible to say that he only got sacked three times, but in this year, that seems like a great accomplishment. But they felt like they had real swagger again. They felt like they had real determination. And whatever Manny Diaz, and I heard DJ Williams had made a speech somewhere throughout the week to the team, whatever they said to those guys, they need to take it and put it in a syringe and inject every one of the Miami players literally before every game. That looked like a Miami team that we should have seen all year. And the frustrating part for me, had they played like that the entire year, they're at worst 5-1 right now. The Florida game was a toss-up. I thought they played hard and pretty well in that game. But those other two games, you had no business losing to Virginia Tech and North Carolina. They should be a 5-1 football team right now. And that's where, as a big Miami guy like I am, I'm frustrated that you didn't see that effort until Virginia came to town a couple of days ago.
And, John, defensively, we talked about this earlier in the week. It's not like Manny jumped in and got in exotic blitzes or tried to, you know, throw the house at him. It just seemed like they were more stout. What did you see with the change with Manny being more a part of defense? What really did you see out there on Saturday?
It looked like guys doing their assignments. And that in this defense, yeah, there are going to be times that people are left out to dry because you are sending pressure. But I watched D tackles get great penetration. Nesta Silvera was shoving guys into the backfield. Greg Russo, why was this kid not starting from the get-go, getting unbelievable pressure off the edge? And for the first game all year, Michael Pinckney and Shaq Quarterman looked like senior linebackers that you could depend on. Then you had guys like Amari Carter before he was unjustly ejected in the game. He made plays. Gervin Hall makes the play of the game on the third down by the goal line where he runs Bryce Perkins out of bounds. It was simply guys trusting each other and being where they're supposed to be. And I think one of the things we've lost throughout the year, how important it was to have Sheldrick Redwine, Jaquan Johnson, Michael Jackson, three guys in the secondary that you knew last year, no matter how bad everything else was going, those guys were going to be where they were supposed to be. I finally saw that on Friday night, a defense that was where it was supposed to be.
And having Manny Diaz involved in the defense as well, put his name in there too.
Well, I think it was accountability. You know, when your head coach comes back and goes, wait a second, you guys are screwing up, and I'm now going to come watch you. It's like, you know, when your teacher goes away and the sub's in there, and we all joke and we laugh, and then the teacher walks in and looks around the corner, and you go, oh, crap, he's watching. I think that's what it was with the defense. Manny Diaz made these guys accountable again. Like, wait a second, we set a standard for 3 years of being one of the four or five best defenses in all of college football. I don't care how many kids we graduated, we still have a ton of talent there. And I think Manny coming in, I think it made some of these guys look in the mirror and go, dude, we've got 7 or 8 games left, potentially as Miami Hurricanes. We need to go out there and play like that. You mean something to us.
John Michaels is with us, longtime radio host. Manny Diaz announced today Nkosi Perry will start against Georgia Tech Saturday at noon. If they were both healthy and complete, and I think they are, if you had your druthers, who's your starter for the remainder of the season?
You know, I said at the beginning of the year, and I don't like to be a hypocrite, I said if Jaron was the starter, he should be the starter. Well, he got hurt, allegedly, and I'm gonna believe that he was actually hurt, and that's why he was pulled. There are times when you get hurt, you can lose your job. And in a week and a half or a week and three quarters, Nkosi Perry looks like he gives Miami something different than Jaron in the passing game, and that's the fact that he's not afraid to use his legs to pull it down. Think about the touchdown that wins the game. It's third down. They're at the 3-yard line. Virginia's bringing hella pressure. And Nkosi steps up, sticks his head down, and goes, I'm getting in the end zone. I don't think Jaron makes that play. While Jaron may be more accurate, while Jaron may eventually be the better quarterback, I think with today's team, with a crap offensive line, and the fact that they need some plays down the field maybe to alleviate all these teams stacking the box against them, I think Nkosi's got to be the guy. But now it needs to be, if he's starting this week at home against Georgia Tech, your two games after that are at Pitt and at Florida State. Nkosi needs to be the guy. He cannot play flip-flop the rest of the year.
I was just going to ask you that, John, because it seems like, you know, when they're surprised and go in the game, they play better. Is it a problem to be the hot hand quarterback, whoever's looking better? Or, like you're saying, if a team it can't stop a running quarterback, now Nkosi plays a little more than Jaron. You don't like that approach?
No, I don't want them both going in because I think it turns into what we had last year, guys being unsure of themselves. Rozier was in, and then he gets pulled for Nicosi. Then Nicosi starts the next week, and he's pulled for Rozier. Channing, I would do this. Now, if they have set packages that we're going to run this for Jaren, and Nicosi's going to do the other 75%, if that's set and the guys know it going into the week of preparation, I'm okay with that. I just don't like it. I know Florida's done a really good job with those packages, and I can't believe this is two compliments for Florida in one interview. Like, I might need to go suck on gas somewhere. But Kyle Trask and Emory Jones, they've done a really good job. This guy comes in then, the other guy comes in at a different time. If Manny wants to do that with Jaren and Nicosi, I'm okay with it. The problem there is I don't think the two of them are that much different. Like, Kyle Trask is a pocket passer. Emory Jones brings the wild card, can run and do everything like that. Jaren and Nicosi are kind of the same. Nicosi's a little more mobile and has a better arm. Jaren's a little more accurate. So I don't necessarily want to do that. I want one guy to be the hot guy and roll with him the rest of the year. Hell, you're not winning a national title anyway. Start preparing for next year. Get one of the two of these guys ready.
I got to ask you an NFL question before we end it. John Michaels is with us. You were the sideline reporter for the Atlanta Falcons radio network for many years. The Dolphins are bad, but they're supposed to be. What are the Falcons?
Here's exactly what they are. They're the worst team in the NFL that's actually trying to win a game. Like, they go out every week and want to win a football game. They spent an entire week in Arizona. They went and saw the Joker together. They sang Kumbaya. I think they had peyotes out in the desert, whatever it was, to get them to come together. And then they lost to the Arizona Cardinals. They're the worst team that's trying to win games, and it's sad because if you really dig into the Falcons' cap space, they are hamstrung for years. Matt's getting a huge contract, and he deserves it. Julio's got a huge contract. He deserves it. Grady Jarrett, Deion Jones, they've paid all of these guys, and they're 1-5. Their next four games are Rams, Seahawks, Saints, Panthers. The Falcons, mark my word, will be a 1-9 football team, and there's a good chance Thomas Dimitroff, our general manager, and Dan Quinn, our head coach, don't make it to the end of the year. The only reason they have a chance to make it to the end of the year, Arthur Blank is the most loyal owner in the NFL, and he doesn't like to disrupt stuff that way. Outside of that, Dan Quinn would have been fired 2 weeks ago. It sucks to watch a team that had Super Bowl aspirations faceplant the way the Falcons
That's the crazy part, because we all expected this season, but you guys had Super Bowl aspirations. That's great. I mean, you have a talent-laden roster. It's crazy. Are people tired of Matt Ryan?
Oh, God, yeah. They want to run Matt Ryan out of town here, which is utterly ridiculous. He leads the league in, like, passing yards, second in touchdowns, and he's having a tremendous year, yet they're 1-5. Last week, he throws four touchdowns over 300 yards, and they lose the football game. What more do you want from Matt Ryan? This town will appreciate Matt Ryan when they're stuck starting somebody like Ryan Tannehill. That's when they'll realize, oh, crap, we had somebody great for a long time and we never appreciated.
But, damn, John, I watched that Houston game. I don't know if Matt Ryan can score 60 in a game. They gave up 53 points on defense.
They gave up 36 to the Arizona Cardinals. I can name one receiver on the Cardinals, really, for the last decade. That's Larry Fitzgerald. He's 113. I don't know anybody on their team other than Kyler Murray. They gave up 36 to that team. Their defense, I promise, I play 6-on-6 indoor flag football. We could cover the Cardinals with our six guys better than the Falcons did with their 11.
They put that on Red Zone. I'll watch that, man. Oh, I got to give love before you get out of here. We didn't even talk about the new kicker. What's his name? Davidson.
Turner Davidson.
Turner Davidson. He's a hero.
He's awesome, and he wore Michael Irvin's number. How cool is that to see a kid at number 47?
The new playmaker.
I don't know if you guys have seen the memes yet. You know, they say he looked like McLovin.
Yes.
So they now call him McKickin'.
Mick Kickin'. We're rooting for him. We love it. All right. John Michaels. Follow him on Twitter at John Michaels U, and you can catch him on SB Nation Radio all over the country. Thank you, John.
Anytime, guys.
Always enjoy talking Canes with John Michaels. He brings the passion.